Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all try a Zin blend from Sonoma County, from Ridge, and their Three Valleys. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Smiling guy.
Interesting.
I'm smiling.
That's fantastic.
It's because of the wine.
That's true. But more importantly, more specially, more fantastically, we are also joined by the Triple B.
Good evening.
Oh, folks, on tonight's show, we have a wine that I am looking forward to, which is a rare thing that I never say.
I know, and we've gotten really burned by that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel the same, but I was not even going to say it out loud.
On tonight's show, we are tasting a wine from a winery that Becky and I visited when we were out in California a few years back. It was one that I had put on the top of the list that I wanted to go to. And this winery is Ridge. Ridge is a Zin producer. Now 100% Zin, no. They always flirt with, you know, what does it need to be, 76% to be considered a straight varietal. They like to flirt with that 76% level. Tonight, though, they have something that it's not at 76%. It's 72% Zinfandel. So whatever. But for that's the Zin way. And this is their entry level wine, more or less, for red. And this is their Three Valleys. Now, I probably presume that references Dry Creek, Sonoma Valley, and Alexander. Alexander, I think.
Maybe, yeah. I was trying to think of the valleys in the area.
Because I don't think that they do Russian River, but this comes from 10 different sites.
Huh.
But I'm assuming that references that. I don't know. I didn't see anywhere through the press clippings explaining that, but it's an exciting blend of a wine, and it's also highly regarded. So
yeah, and they play around a little differently than your standard Zinfandel Petit Sirah blend. They like to put sometimes kind of sort of obscure grapes in there.
They do. This one, for instance, is 72% Zin, 14% Petit Sirah, which is not all that unusual, but then 10% Carignan and 4% Mataro, which, you know, is also Mourvèdre. It's just a different term from Mourvèdre.
Yeah, and the 2019, for shits and giggles, they throw in a little Alicante Bouchet.
Yes. And so it varies. So what they do with this wine, they say, what does the Zin taste like this year? Then they make the blend. So it's based on the Zin. The Zin is the primary element. And then that's how they decide what they're going to add. Think of it in a very vulgar. Anyone that knows how that you make Châteauneuf du Pape, if you've ever seen that done, you're going to have your base stock, and then you're going to be adding different levels, different varietals in. It isn't necessarily a set varietal. It's just a grouping of X amount. That's what they do here, sort of. I mean, it's not Châteauneuf du Pape, mind you. But if it needs more Petit Sirah, it'll get that. If they think it needs a little Alicante Bouchet, they'll do that. Mm-hmm. And they might go beyond that too. So,
but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It is a fun wine.
16 different Zin and or Primitivo blends, or they've got a couple 100%, but that's 16 different on their webpage right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very.
What do you recall? What you tasted at Ridge?
Oh, quite a few things. I've had in the past multiple different ones. They're Geyserville, they're Linton Springs. Those are the two big ones that everybody knows. And those are $40-some in. So, well, $30 to $40.
How much was this?
This is $24.99.
Okay.
Ooh.
Rock Pile. I mean, Ponzi, some other stuff. They have a bunch of different things. Dry Creek predominantly, but other Alexander Valley. I think Linton Springs is Alexander Valley more. Montebello is their big cab. They have an ultra-premium cab, but it's from Santa Cruz.
Really?
So similar to Turley in that fact that they have, well, Turley doesn't really have too much of a Sonoma presence, some, but they have a Sonoma presence, and then they have a Santa Barbara, you know, well, down in the Santa Cruz Paso kind of thing.
Hmm.
So that's where Montebello is from. And I've had Montebello, but one of the things I had at Ridge was Montebello. I had some of their Grenaches.
Yeah, that Klein is from the Santa Cruz Mountains. That's, who else produces from Santa Cruz Mountains? Good producer.
You asked me too quick.
I know.
That's going to be stuck in my mind the whole damn night. Thank you very much.
Well, I have a question that maybe it'll help you,
sure,
come back to it. Do you want to talk about what Ridge, the winery tasting room area, was like?
Well, first of all, Dry Creek is very barren. It's dry. I mean, it's Dry Creek. Yeah, whatever. But it was very utilitarian. It wasn't overly showy, but it was nice. And I remember the guy that was doing the tastings was from Utica, and he thought that we lived next to each other, but he's actually from Utica, New York. He didn't know that that was not, you know, he thought, well, Utica's Utica, but that's okay.
What is?
Friendly guy, though. And, the Montebello was certainly...
Didn't they have a fire going?
Did they?
Isn't this the place that had the dogs?
No. That was Lambert Bridge.
Oh, I'm confusing. Lambert Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
This is just Ridge.
Okay. Yes. And that's Lambert Bridge.
Oh, jeez.
A bridge and a ridge.
Okay.
Yes.
Never mind. Lambert Bridge was the coolest one we visited.
Not to be confused with Ridge's Rancho. Lambert Zinfandel.
Whoa.
I know.
Honestly, I thought the coolest was Heights, but it's just me.
Heights was really cool, too. Different cool.
The best tasting, though, was Chateau Saint-Jean was pretty good, too.
Yeah.
And then there was Segesio was pretty nice. And then there was BV was nice. You know what wasn't?
And then.
What wasn't?
Trefethen. Trefethen sucked. Pine Ridge wasn't very good either. It was odd.
And Silverado was probably the worst.
Silverado wasn't very good either. Hall was very good.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Markham? I don't know why we went to Markham. BV wasn't very good.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah. Franciscan was all right.
Yeah, that's the other one I was going to say I thought was nice.
Saint-Supre.
Yeah.
There's a lot, Scott. I could keep going on just to make you sad, but I won't.
But now, going back to Scott's question, what is a quality producer out of Santa Cruz?
Oh, well, one that does it, Martin Ray does Santa Cruz. They have a Santa Cruz cab.
Cab, okay.
Mm-hmm. More expensive. Now, I can say their Napa, base Napa in the 20s, wasn't very good, but I'm sure that one is. We'd have to look it up, but those are two that I can think of right off top of my head. But then again, the most famous wine or Cabernet from Santa Cruz Mountains is Montebello.
Gotcha.
That's a classic wine. That's just like Opus or any of the Camus. Well, hell, it's a lot more exclusive than Camus, but it is the classic of classic Cabernet. It's up there with Dominus and all those things that are OGs. Volcanic Hill, doesn't matter. It is the ultra premium. So, but they don't make cheap stuff. They just make nice, nice, solid things. But their Zins don't get too expensive. It's all under 50 for wonderful stuff. You have the Litton Springs get 96 from Parker.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Turley-level reviews. So we're going to take a break. But then we'll be right back with more information, fun, and just festivities here on The Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. So, the 2018 Ridge Three Valleys. Apparently, Bo, is he sleeping on the floor?
Yeah. He's had such a hard night. He really has. I was telling Scott, he's been outside, and I think I've heard coyotes are, really plentiful right now, and he just lost his mind outside, so we bring him in, and he just was, I don't know, unsettled. And he's been unsettled for a while, so we come down to the basement. I send him down so that he can hang out with Rob, but he just... You know, he gets so amped up for the wine ball.
Yeah, a little bit too much.
And he's made it 10 minutes into the show, and he's laying behind me, totally passed out.
Yeah, that's what, folks. He makes it like he just gets excited to go to sleep, and he'll sleep for what, an hour straight. At least,
but then Scott brought him a bone, and he didn't even get through it.
He just passed out.
It's laying here next to him.
Yeah,
he's got most of the meat off of it.
Yeah,
it's a dried rib meat bone.
Ooh, oh, very nice.
He has a little meat coma going.
I think his eyes are open, but he can't move. I think I just saw his eyebrows moving when we were talking about it.
Well, some folks, some facts and figures about the Ridge Three Valleys. So, as we said, we gave you the breakdown, 72, 14, 10, and 4. But it is on oak, 100% American oak barrel. Uh-huh. And by the way, air dried, in case you want to know. And Scott, I'm going to go further than that. And it's 10 months in barrel. 12% were new. 15% 1 year old. 23% 2 years old. 25% 4 years old. And 25% 5 years old. At Ridge, it's too much information.
That's well, details.
No, something that I'm really interested in is whenever we played Pro V Con and we talked about American oak, and you said that a point that I had missed was that sometimes there's some really big Zins, really big wines that need American oak.
Yeah.
And so I'm really interested that this is an upper class winery using American oak, and if that is warranted or not.
Air dried, for that matter.
What does that
well,
mean?
Well, and you know, varying ages of the aged oak.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, in high detail. 14.5% alcohol, too. But now, over to the Triple B, who has some more interesting information about this wine. Yes.
Okay. These are hand-harvested grapes, de-stemmed and crushed, fermented on the native yeast, followed by a full malolactic
fermentation.
That's a hard thing to say.
Well, full malolactic on the natural, yeah.
On the natural occurring bacteria, blah, 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 some tartaric acid, oak from barrel aging, minimum effective sulfur for this wine, membrane sterile filtered at bottling. So what is interesting is they said this is the sum of our actions because they have a philosophy of minimal intervention, which is exciting because it should be a little bit more pure, but it's also very elitist, and I love it.
You know what's also nice? I never get to tell Becky how something's pronounced. It was very interesting for me to do that. Malolactic.
Malolactic.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know that you say that la. Malolactic.
Well, I don't overpronounce it. How's that sound?
Malolactic. I think I just malolactic. Said it right.
Malolactic. Mine's more of a Y
malolactic.
Than a... I say it more of a Y than an L. True. Oh, now, does this wine have any history?
Like reviews?
Or history? And she shifts through... Oh, there we go. See? Look at that.
The history of the Ridge Three Valleys began with the release of the 2001. The wine contains grapes from a number of Sonoma vineyards, this year 10. We take great care in selecting the fruit, which is hand-harvested, then crushed, and wineries.
By the way, Ridge, make a PDF I can just download. Fucking A. I was trying to like copy and print like their stuff, and then it would like reduce down. Every time you do that, you could never do it. And you can only like print with one of the things open. So if you want to print off history, you can't print off winemaking. If you want to print off winemaking, you can't print.
Oh, you have to do the drop-down menu.
Yeah. It's like, how hard is it to do a fucking PDF?
Okay.
Sorry.
Unlike our single vineyard wines, which reflect the distinctive character of each site, Three Valleys represents the blending of vineyards, winemaking at its finest. Zinfandel determines the wine's varietal character. Old Vine Carignan contributes bright fruit and acidity. Petite Syrah spice, depth of color, and firm tannins.
She said color. Yes.
All of those things color. Are very exciting.
They are. But you know what's more exciting?
More exciting?
The reviews.
So I think the most important review I see on this list is Blue Lifestyles.
Well, there are. There are three reviews, folks. There is Jeb Dunnick. Well, four. Yes, right. Well, I don't consider Blue Lifestyles.
He's a handsome man.
Well, Jed Dunnick has great hair.
He's a handsome fella.
We don't know who... I don't know Blue Lifestyle, but maybe we should Google it.
I don't think I've ever heard of that wine reviewer.
Well, that's Anthony Diaz Blue, or Diaz, whichever you want to say.
I don't know.
And Anthony's review says, bright black raspberry nose, Crisp and tangy, exuberant and juicy, mostly zen with three others in support, smooth and long.
Just like me.
Anthony Ew. Blue Diaz is nice and spicy.
I know.
Do you
Anthony.
Know the connoisseur's guide?
Yes. This is the connoisseur. This is James Suckling. I am reading for the connoisseur's guide because only a connoisseur would have this guide. It looks like a TV guide, actually, and it's fantastic for those that don't know. And I will read the review. They provided this wine 90 of their points, and they don't have many points to spare. Among the more affable and accessible of the present Ridge Bunch, with lots of direct and juicy berry-like fruit from beginning to end. Its fine, very well integrated tannins lend to just a right bit of tactile grip without ever interfering with its persistent fruit. And while it is certainly capable of aging for 4 or 5 years and likely to show a little more complexity as it does, there is nothing at all about this lively and altogether delectable Zinfandel that dissuades immediate drinking.
You're freaking me out, man.
Yes.
Same.
Jeb Dunnick provided it 93 of its points. Triple B will read that, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Do you do a Jeb voice?
No.
Okay.
Jeb, think of it like John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, and every other handsome man's voice just mixed together. That's what you got. And an angel singing. There you go. Mm. That's Jeb Dunnick.
Okay. So the 2018 Three Valleys is another terrific 2018 from this team. That reads so weird. A blend of 70% Zin, 14% Petit Sirah, 12% Carignan, and the rest Mataro.
Mataro.
It plays in the medium-bodied, elegant end of the spectrum. It has wonderful purity in its blue fruits, peppery herbs, how exciting, violets and sandalwood. And violets and sandalwood aromas and flavors. Nicely textured, elegant, and seamless on the palate. Mm. With good acidity, this ethereal balanced beauty can be drunk today or cellared for 10 to 15 years.
That's a very long time, Jeb.
Very long time.
I saw 30 to 40 on a couple that he wrote. You know, he gets a little excited about the aging.
Well, he likes it.
He does, a lot.
Yeah, Wine Spectator said something similar, drink now through 2028. But the rest of their review is interesting. Svelte and briary, with vibrant raspberry and black cherry flavors, accented by licorice, tarragon, and white pepper notes. Mm. Finishes with snappy tannins.
Snappy.
And they provided it 92 of their points. So, 293s, although Blue Lifestyle, who the fuck knows what that is?
I know.
I wonder if that's like the Blue Man Group or somebody that
I
paints
don't think
themselves.
We should hate on them. We haven't even looked them up.
Can you?
Yeah, I did.
I'm sure you can Google.
He's a travel consultant, food consultant.
Cool. Is he?
He does a little bit of everything.
Does he have a podcast?
He has an audio. He has audio files.
Oh, does he?
He does.
I bet he sounds really cool too.
Just open up his webpage.
This is Anthony. At all.
Just open up his webpage.
I don't want to.
Don't.
I don't want to get a computer virus.
Let me help you.
Okay.
Hello.
I don't even know if that's what he said. I'll never have an Anthony Diaz voice because there's no one else that's ever cited him. You know? Yeah, it's taking him a while there.
Be nice.
Wait, to who?
What happened to
everyone?
Let's go.
that's too much.
Yeah, we can't be nice.
You expect too much of me.
This.
Let me see.
Yeah, he's kind of, yeah.
Oh, that's lovely. Anyways, very I'll kind. Look it up.
Why does he have a pick? Why isn't his jacket fit properly? The cuff of his shirt is.
Hey, let's zip it.
I'm just saying.
So, Rob, this week.
His sunglasses are bent.
I forget which night.
You choose on them.
I think it was Thursday night. We had kind of a week, Wednesday all day I didn't have internet, and I had some doctor's appointments. I was in a really foul mood. Thursday, I had to work late. Was it Thursday I had to work late?
Could be.
I started working again, and I was like really grumpy, working, whatever, and Rob's like, Becky, you have to do this. You have to write your host bio for our new network.
That's right.
Today. I'm in a terrible mood. But you know what Rob wrote, which I'm taking very seriously? One of the things he wrote is that I'm the voice of morality and reason on the show.
It doesn't say much, but, you know.
Well,
it's a low bar.
He's over just here.
But it's
the crowd.
Important I rein it in.
Oh, okay.
You all can do whatever you want on the second episode when I'm not here. But the first episode...
Just more of a challenge to
clip
push
your wings
push
just a
the
little.
Oh, no. That's just nonsense.
I believe I can fly.
Oh, I'll fly. So, right. Folks,
I believe I can touch the sky.
The ridge in the glass.
My nose is so good.
And that guy, yeah, looks like he took his shirt off a picnic table. That's all I'm saying. A big picnic table.
You know, it's a blue style, blue lifestyle. It's a stunning
one. Why is he wearing his glasses on like
a chain?
Well, not a chain. It's a
glasses holder. Yeah, glasses strap.
Why? Does it make him look smarter in the picture?
Listen, you just don't under. Welcome to the blue lifestyle.
Do they
have? If you want to understand the blue lifestyle, you too must take a picture.
Are they selling pre-made meals? Because it kind of looks like that. Because it's a good-looking website, but it looks like one of those like HelloFresh kind of thing.
And
he doesn't look like he missed any of those. So
can we move on?
Okay,
I'm not going to be a part of this.
Yeah. Too late.
It just takes two.
No, what a wonderful nose.
Yeah,
Briary. I never use
that
term.
That's a pretty correct term, though, isn't it?
It's a briary nose. Ridges often have a briary nose, though.
Deep. You know, often when you say grapey, it's not...
flattering.
Yeah, it wouldn't be flattering. This has a deep presence of grape. It's not a berry nose. It's not a Zinfandel berry nose. That's... depth. I like it.
And blueberry.
I think I also get blueberry. I just got that. Whew, that's a good nose. And I also get some black licorice on the nose.
Absolutely.
I think it's a little bit of prune with that black licorice. It's kind of dancing in between those
aromas. Is it stewed prune?
I think it's stewed
prune. That blueberry is a little like delight mixed in there, isn't it?
Well, it's what blueberries are supposed to smell like. How's that sound? Yes.
You know what this nose is exactly.
Good?
It's a blue lifestyle nose.
Oh, good God.
It is.
I think they have like a separate form that you have to, you know, know some code to get into, and that's just code for something else.
Anyways.
You know. What?
That briary comment, the blueberry, is like a little nod to summertime, which we're in like
true.
In between winter storms, getting ready to have this Arctic blast. I feel like it's extra welcome to me.
Mm-hmm. It does smell like summertime.
Yeah, like a little...
Or springtime.
I don't know where you're headed, but
springtime.
Stop. I know. You have an evil look in your
eye.
Zip it.
I was just going to sing a show,
springtime
too.
Springtime in Paris.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Use one way worse.
A song from the producers.
I love that song.
It is a good song.
It's a bad song.
But when my...
It is.
My young...
Our kids sing it.
They did when I used to sing it. I'm going to start singing that tomorrow.
No, I banned it.
It's a gorgeous song to sing in the morning extremely loudly. Just springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Okay.
Rhineland's a fine land once more.
Are we ready?
We're marching to a faster pace.
Saw Matthew Broderick in that.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
That's a great.
Fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. That's a lot of wine for $24.
Yeah, it is. It also... has, I mean, we could almost do the exercise where we go around in a circle and do the flavors that we taste.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I was just debating in my mind, is this medium bodied because it has so much flavor in it that it's hard to not to call it full bodied, but I think it is medium bodied, right?
But its finish is 45 to 50 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
It's medium bodied, but what it is, it's so intricately crafted.
Mm-hmm.
It has, because it never is one of, it's not one of these things where you just drink it and just knocks your head off. It's subtle. Yeah. It's subtle, like a French wine can be subtle. Mm-hmm. But it's Californian. You know that when you taste it. But the briary fruit up front is structured so lovely and cleverly. You can tell just the oak framing it all the way through. Lightly, subtly.
Mm-hmm. You can tell it's American oak. I can tell it's American mm-hmm. oak. But it's a really flattering component of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had made this with French oak, if you would even really be able to pick up on it at all. Mm-hmm. I think it needs kind of the...
See, that's the thing. It's showing... Oh, first of all, Ridge doesn't make bullshit. They don't have some sort of, you know, barbecue Zin that they throw out there. They don't have a Chuck, just like a jackass line. This is the cheapest thing that they make.
This is the equivalent of their entry.
Yeah. They don't, and this is, I mean, this also, I mean, list price is 30. I got it on post offer 24. But they don't have a Jack Wagon wine. This is their Jack Wagon wine. They don't compromise their winemaking for anything. They're not saying, okay, on this one, we're going to put Purple Death in there. And this is from 10 different sites, but there's a reason for that, because it's multiple different, well, there's multiple different varietals there. Mm-hmm. Everything about it is so judicious. It's interesting. The thing about it is, for everybody, would it be as exciting as they would expect it to be? No. But that's not the point of this wine. This wine is an introvert. You know what I mean? And I do think with 4 to 5 years of aging, it will show a little more complexity too. Because there's the mid palate stays a little bit tight. And I think it'll suss out. And I think you might even see a little tobacco in that possibly as it gets a little bit more aged.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I'm not surprised it's not there in the background already.
It will be.
To be honest with you, I think it's there. If it's not tobacco, it's leather headed that way.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's I think it's the Mataro. No, not the Mataro. The Carignan. The Mataro's. It could be Mataro, but it's 4%. I don't know if you're going to taste it 4%.
Something that I really love about this is the pepper in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good, and that's something that I love about some other wines, like Tempranillos, when you get the pepper in it, it's so exciting. But to taste this in a Zin is like a really fun, good treat. It goes so well in this Zin.
That's the Dry Creek DNA that's in the background.
Doesn't it go so well in there?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, it's nice that two more of these bottles were delivered today.
Is that what you...
See, this bottle had an auspicious start. It was delivered to the house, and Bo outside opened it. And then he was playing with the bottle. Now, it's been about 2 weeks ago. So if you look at this label, it has dumbass teeth marks on it, and paw marks on it.
Oh, you were shooting at it with a BB gun.
So, you know, this is a Bow inspected wine. He had to make sure it wasn't contraband.
Right.
Yeah, is this going to be on the wine vault?
He just wants to participate.
I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. I've got a rawhide. You see it down here? I'm chewing
this is just his. Yeah, this is his role, is inspecting the wine.
Yay. It's not up to snuff.
The fruit in this is so interesting. You've got, I'll give you that blueberry that was on the nose, but it's also got a transition where it goes from that sweeter profile fruit to those savory elements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it so well.
Mm-hmm. It's not a jammy wine.
No.
It is savory fruit, and it's radiating with a peppery white pepper all the way across it. It just dances. And then that dancing pepper leads into that somewhat tobacco leather that leads into the tannin, which then leads back into the spice and the finish. And I prefer wines like this. I mean, sometimes you want these big bombs, but this isn't a bomb. Mm-hmm. It's a intellectual wine. That being said, I think that the flavors there, often I'll say, well, this wine wouldn't appeal to the masses.
This would.
I think a lot of people would enjoy this.
I think I
am not on that end this time. I think that it's pleasing while still being very, very interesting and having excellent complexity.
I think this is a wine that cab drinkers, big cab drinkers, uh-huh. would appreciate.
Yeah, well, I think so too.
I mean, thought that too, because it has so much depth to it. I was just mm-hmm. wondering when you said that it was really accessible to the masses, really approachable. I wonder how appreciated it would be, like how much someone would be able to go through all the different flavors. But I still think it's a really good wine. You could take this anywhere and people would be very, very, very happy to drink it.
100%.
It has a very, the best thing, other than the flavor profile, the mouthfeel mm-hmm. is excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's, you know, earlier we mentioned Turley. Mm-hmm. This isn't quite the Turley mouthfeel, but this is a really nice mouthfeel. Mm-hmm.
But where Turleys go beyond, they often, first of all, are alcohol-laden bombs.
Many, much higher.
And the fruit and the fruit itself is drippy, and the fruit itself is riper. And so they are your classic, even the ones that aren't Amador. Turley still has that classic...
Yeah.
Russian River / Amador kind of mindset, even in their Napas and whatnot. They are massive wines. The Howe Mountain stuff are just massive, horribly big
wines.
This wine is a step back from any of those things. It doesn't show there's not a Turley that really goes down this line.
Well, and it comes from the blend.
It
comes from, yes, you know, Turley classic.
Turley doesn't go. Turley isn't in the 70s for their Zins. They're more mid 90s with just a little bit of Petit Sirah whiffed in there.
Yeah, it just depends on which one you're talking, but I don't think they have any that are into the 70s. I could be wrong about that.
No, not that they would call it. Maybe they're some like that. What is it, Tecote? But even that, I don't think it's Zin based, is it?
No. I don't think so.
The Nuestra or something like that?
Yeah, Casa Nuestra.
Yeah. Those aren't. I think those are more Rhone style.
This, I was also thinking about food pairings. And mm-hmm. honestly, this wine is so nice to be enjoyed on its own and to be sitting around with friends drinking it. It just, you know, where we're in this time where we're pretty isolated, we're not having people over, it reminds me of spending time on our deck and having a couple of drinks, and it's like, oh, this is a nice wine for that kind of night.
This wine would be so nice in so many situations, and with food. There's so many things that it would taste excellent. Oh, yeah.
Actually,
what's that?
It's quite similar. Petit Sirah, they call it a...
Which one? What are we talking about?
The Casa Nuestra.
Okay, Casa Nuestra.
Turley. Mm-hmm. Vineyards planted... to a Mediterranean mix of Petit Sirah, Zinfandel, Alicante, Bouchette, Cognac, Napa Gamay, Negrette, Mourvèdre, and Refosco, and a bit of Chenin Blanc for good measure.
See, but they're going far more...
beyond.
Yes. Especially when you're getting to the Gamay. You're really just... they're just going for their own little thing there. This is a little
for sure.
more... This is a little... This is meant to be... I don't know if I'd call it a baby ridge because it's an excellent ridge, but it's the nod to the Lytton Springs and the Geyservilles, because the Geyservilles and Lytton Springs are still in the 70s. They're like higher 70s, but they have blunt. They're blunt like this.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get back to occasionally sprinkling in a Lytton Springs, a Geyserville, the Ponzi, all that kind of stuff, because we love Zins. And this is just like Turley. Okay, how much do you spend on Turley? Well, you can buy some Ridge too. Same
yeah,
money.
Why not? Well, it stands. Really it stands alone. It stands. Yeah. It's not necessarily apart, but.
And I gotta admit, I have always loved the Ridge packaging. Just that, just
it's
simple,
super simple, yeah.
Basic. I always have liked it.
You know, it's Ridge.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. I just the Triple B said, Rob, it's Valentine's Day. I want to get you something lovely, and so. I got a bottle of 16 Smithfield Lafitte to replace the 98 that we did a while back. But a couple of weeks ago, there was a Montebello that got hundreds. Mm-hmm. If that was still, it's not available anymore. If that was still available, I would have gotten that. It was a little bit more, but I would have just lied and got it. But it wasn't there. It was a 17 Montebello. They had it for, I think it was only, they only had 199 is what it was.
Wow.
That's a lot of money, but straight 100s?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Especially for a gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like a Tuesday buy. It's like a gift.
It was on Tuesday, but
Tuesday's a good buy to buy a gift.
That's true.
The other thing I was going to say is I'm pretty blown away by this entry level offering.
Yeah.
It's kind of like I want us to go buy everything that they make just because, but it's also like, holy cow, this is a lot of wine for an entry level offering, and it's a lot of wine for $24.
Yeah. You know, Segesio is 21, but it's more a linear cab style Zin. We love Dry Creek for $19.99, but it is a little more linear Zin.
What this blend offers you is, I think that's a big part of the mouthfeel.
Yeah.
And that's what gives it that, you know, you talked about it being medium body, not full bodied.
Mm-hmm.
The Carignan definitely is what lends it down that path.
Yeah.
But you've got all these different things going on that just a traditional Zin Petit Sirah just can't offer you.
Well, it tastes like a wine that says about the person that drinks it consistently. They're like, you know what? I like Zin. I love Zin. I love Segesho. I love all that stuff. But I'm past that a little bit.
You're so elitist.
I acknowledge I love those things, but you know what? I'm a little more mature now. I'm a little more grown up.
About time.
And I need something that matches that. And that's what that is.
Connoisseur's Guide.
Well, okay, yeah, when the Connoisseur's Guide's reviewing you.
Connoisseur Guide.
They're not reviewing Rosenblum, I'm pretty sure. They're reviewing this, and it's like, okay. The Connoisseur's Guide.
Who are they?
They are pompous. Obviously.
Okay.
I've heard of the Connoisseur's Guide.
But right now, $25 on wine.com.
Do I?
Three Valleys.
Yeah. Do I know where you buy the Connoisseur's Guide? Not particularly. I'm assuming it's online only now.
Well, yeah. I think there is a place you can buy the Connoisseur's Guide. I think they buy you.
They buy me?
They buy you.
What's that mean?
They buy your soul.
I really don't think that they're that, you know, sophisticated.
Neither's your soul.
That's fair enough.
So you get the blueberry.
Yes.
Cassis.
Mm-hmm. Well, currant.
The leather in the mid palate.
Yeah, and for me, I like the fruit. It has a fruit component. I don't get hung up on that. I like everything else even more. I just like the structure of it.
Yes.
You have a very nice soft front palate that is so linear. Well, not linear. It's so focused. It's such a focused, well-done wine. There's not an ounce of it that's flabby. Every inch of the wine is contributing in some fashion.
Yeah.
That is so unique because, you know, say you have Lake of Sonoma. Like, okay, the front palate's okay. It's got decent fruit. Kind of loses its way there on the mid palate. And, what the fuck is that on the end? This wine has none of those things. Mm-hmm. It's all, every inch of the wine contributes to the experience. Where some of them, you're like, you know, I like everything. The oak is a little bit off, but, you know, I can let that go. This is none of that.
And, you know, too much detail on what the different elements of the air aged oak, but you know, that older oak, you know, what it was 50% of it is 4 to 5 year between the two, right?
You're the only person that finds that interesting, but yes, that's right.
But
older oak imparts less of its qualities to the wine because it's already been used.
And this oak is so well done. It's on the verge of being a little sharp. But it'll certainly, you lay this down a couple years and that just touch of sharpness will go away. But it really is not too much for the wine.
No, it's
not sharp in a way that it's too much. But you know it's American oak.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Well,
doesn't give you that vanilla that you typically get sometimes.
No, it doesn't.
But it's not missing.
Right.
Just because it's not there, it's not missing.
Yeah, it just doesn't have that.
The white pepper. And I think there's a little bit of almost like cayenne on the finish. Mm.
It's pretty peppery.
Ten different things going on here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Something that we haven't talked about are the tannins either.
They're just ever present. I don't know that I'd call them drippy.
Well integrated.
Yeah. Yeah, just well integrated.
I don't even know. Yeah.
What was your word?
Steady.
Used? Yeah.
Like consistent.
They're, once again, they're exactly what they mm-hmm. need to be. Mm-hmm. Nothing more, nothing less. And the length is exceptional.
Yeah.
Really, it's just
$25.
I mean,
it really is.
So
it drinks like a $40+ bottle. Easy. Of wine.
You listen to the show and you've been hesitant to spend more money on a wine. This is the one. Mm-hmm. This is
spend your $25 on
guaranteed, this. Mm-hmm. And not for a special time. Just say I'm going to spend a little more, mm-hmm. and I'm going to drink it, mm-hmm. and do it.
Yeah,
you won't be sorry.
Yep.
There's a lot of wines out there that we have liked a lot, despite their flaws or despite some sort of inequities or just they just don't quite measure up in all areas. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have that.
It doesn't have that at all. And not only that, but
we're not saying
you can get this.
We're not saying it's like a Donjon or something like that. It's a classic wine. It's not that either. But there is this level where you're getting such good quality and you're getting such good complexity. Not outlandish in any way, mm-hmm. shape, or form, but such good everything mm-hmm. that it just makes it so worthwhile. Yes, this tastes like a $45-$50 wine.
Yeah.
Maybe not Zin, because $40-$50 wine from the Zinfandel normally will take your fucking head off.
The other piece of that is this is really the best of Cali Zin. It really is. What you hope it is when you have a Cali Zin, this is it.
This mm-hmm. is why I love it so much. This mm-hmm. is why I love Zin. But, you know, again, going back to Turley, but we love their entry price, the Juvie and
Juvie's
their old
good.
Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And this is right there with that. Mm-hmm. This is right there with that. One of your, from a premier maker.
Certain vintages.
Kind of a high quality for the price.
This is better than the Juvie is. There have been certain
years.
Old vines that are from Turley that are classic Zins. Not every one of them, but many of them. But one thing this thing does that they don't do, those wines, because of their alcohol level, can come across as a little bit boozy. Just a little bit. And that's one thing I don't like about any wine. But this some wines I do drink despite that, because I like Turley's Buck Cobb, and that has enough alcohol to kill them. Fucking drunk.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that could kill 10 hobos.
Didn't get you yet.
I know. And I still drank it. It's like 16.5 or some asinine
stupid.
Thing. I mean, yeah, something where should you drink that? No, you probably shouldn't. There should be a warning on the label. But this doesn't come across as boozy to me.
No.
As a Steve Gibson would say, I could drink 4 or 5 bottles of this.
This is a wine.
Imagine how much Steve would like this. If he likes 8 days in the desert or whatever the hell that Orange Swift
that was
pig
just,
slop is.
You know, when you pull up Ridge Three Valleys on the webpage, that's one of the 4 suggestions.
Oh, fuck
that. They say are
it
similar.
Is really hard. This is a hard wine to pace yourself on.
It's too easy
it's,
to drink.
I mean, it's like.
This is a wine that should be on wine lists.
Yeah.
In
restaurants. Oh, yes. Okay.
This should be on wine
oh,
lists.
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah, it really, I mean, I said it's like a wine you can just enjoy on its own. It reminds me so much of summertime drinking outside on mm-hmm. our deck. But, I mean, it would pair with anything. It's so good.
Well, soon we're going to have a direct competitor to this wine, although it's a little more of a rarer one.
Mm.
And it's the Robert Bolly Party Line Zinfandel.
Oh, the party line.
Yeah.
Sent with confetti.
You can call me on my party line.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We could party anytime.
Late night when you need my love.
Okay.
You could call me on my party line.
I know. That's 976, Robert Bolly. So, folks.
A rough name.
I know. We're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy.
Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So on tonight's potpourri, we have another rematch of Pro V Con, because Scott loves it.
We're in dispute because the judging is incredibly
circumspect.
Oh, it's awful.
Well, Scott, because you got your ass kicked last time, and just remember, folks,
I've won. It's in dispute.
We have five rounds. You have to announce Pro V Con. I'm sorry. Just be quicker. I will provide between 1 and 5 points. Okay. Scott, pro or con? Wine-related topics, pro or con?
Pro.
Pro, he goes.
Con. No. Pro.
Which one are you going to do?
The question is, which one am I going
to
do?
Go to this hand.
Con.
Okay, it's con, folks. Con.
What is it?
What?
Pro goes first, right?
No.
No, you go
you
first.
You go first.
Martini and Rossi on the rocks. Say yeah.
Rossi. Scott is con.
Martini and Rossi, folks.
Oh, pro.
It's a
pro. I like diabetes. Go ahead.
It is the epitome of cliched bad wine.
Dialysis just is an oil change for the body.
Rob has often commented on the wicker basket wines. No, folks. Martini and Rossi. You know, what's worse than the Martini and Rossi? Maybe Andre?
There are worse things.
There, I suppose.
Cooks?
Syphilis?
I've never had syphilis.
No, I don't anymore.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I want more, but...
Is syphilis worse?
It's just, you know...
You get a drippy dick with syphilis,
stop.
Right?
It's cheap wine.
I'm just asking. I don't know. Are you looking it up?
No.
That's the story.
Look that up. Do you get a drippy dick with...
Rob!
I'm sorry.
There's a Cheech and Chong joke.
Okay, go ahead.
Apparently, tired of the constant drip.
Apparently, folks, drippy dick is not allowed on the show. Go ahead, Scott. It's a second episode term. Go ahead, Scott.
Rooter, that's the name. You just flush your troubles down the drain.
You've lost your way. Focus up. I blame myself.
Martini and Rossi, it is just the classic cliched 70s bad wine. You want to pick a line of bad wines? They've got it for you.
Do they have more than one?
Oh,
they probably have a Prosecco now, too, don't they?
There you go. They've got it all.
Man, I'd rather barf on my own lap.
You just can't be more con than saying Martini and Rossi. The only pro about it is their old classic 70s commercials. That's all I've got for you.
That was when you were 50, too. So.
Back when I was 52.
All right. Triple B, pro Martini and Rossi.
Okay. So I'm working with what I have.
Fair enough.
Okay. So first, we are proponents on this show of drink what you like. So if you can't say that, that's true.
You too.
If there
might
is
be
something
that.
You like, you should drink it. Okay? So if you like Martini and Rossi, you should drink it. Not saying you shouldn't expand your horizons, but just saying try not to judge. Also, they do win for best advertising. How many times have you sang their song?
You have to say
me winning for
you
best
have to
advertising.
Say yes to that.
Yeah.
You know, Stella Rosa wins for best advertising. Have you seen those
then,
billboards?
No.
My third point
yes.
is...
3 points.
It's in a very challenging category of carbonated wine beverage.
Well, I think it's sparkling. It's in a bottle. They don't have it in a can.
Okay.
Because they're above that.
Its budget category is challenging. Let's say that. And in its category, among its contemporaries, it would be the best.
Ethel? Ethel, did you hear?
What would you say is better than it?
Ethel, did you hear what she said? She says, if we like it, we can drink it.
There's a bottle that is like dark green. I can't remember what it's called, but it's better.
Uh-huh. It's dark green.
It's called Martini and Rossi. No, just kidding.
It's got wine in the bottle.
Toasty is better. Toasty is better. Everything's better.
I think that you could argue this is the best in its category.
Mm-hmm. You could argue that the world is flat, too.
There you go. That's all I got.
All right. Number two. It's better than what Scott does. Pro or con, Becky?
Pro.
On the rocks.
So it's Ben Roethlisberger.
So annoying. It's because.
It's easy.
His cons are a mile long.
I hoped you'd get pro.
This is so much fun.
Becky's not a fan of Ben Roethlisberger.
Backstory, I'm the Steelers fan, and these two try to abuse me over Ben, and I just don't take it. And now I get to use all their arguments against them.
It's Ben abusing people, allegedly, that Becky doesn't like, so. In my opinion.
Allegedly.
Yes. Satirically. What are you going to say pro about him?
I'm, like, really struggling here.
He's not that fat.
Easy.
So we're not fat shaming. Something that you have said is that he has mentored other young quarterbacks.
Yes, like the fine upstanding citizen Mason Rudolph.
So there's other players on his team that seem to very much like being in Pittsburgh. Which is a challenging city.
Like Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell?
I was going to say TJ Watt.
Defensive MVP.
I know who he is.
Future Hall of Famer.
I had not asked him.
So that's something I would say. Also, would he have chosen Mason Rudolph? Probably not. Who is the other QB he had?
There's a long list of backups in Pittsburgh. I don't know.
Yeah, he mentored them all.
Yeah, I
don't know. This season. Who else did they bring in after that game?
Dwayne Haskins is there now.
Oh, that's right. See, they brought him Dwayne Haskins for Ben's mentoring. He is obviously a leader on his team. And the other point that I will say is he has had some challenging revelations brought to light, but he continues to hold his head high and lead his team. That's pretty good.
I think by the challenging revelations, Rebecca might be talking about his off-season discussions of his alleged sex addiction that he talked about and his porn addictions that he talked about. I don't know if any other stunning revelations.
You mean the involuntary partner sex addiction?
I think there was some.
Well, that was even before last summer. Those were the alleged problems.
Alleged problems that he paid.
But, you know, he.
You're con. You can just say it. He ducked that.
So for right now. The cons about Big Ben are he's about to be the most highest paid player in the NFL next season.
Well, he needs that at the Golden Corral.
The Steelers are kind of questioning where they want him back, and they just had a press conference this week where Ben said he would take the minimum of $1.9 million.
That might be a little high. You know,
maybe we'll bring him back
hourly basis.
The con is his time's done. That elbow injury, he just doesn't have the zip on the ball anymore. He's not the same Ben Roethlisberger. Could bounce around back there and bounce off defenders and then just flick the ball downfield 50 yards. Bye bye. Those days are over. He was inaccurate this year. Injured. You know, in years past. Similar to Tom Brady. If it's a yard to go,
It was for sure yard because Big Ben burrow his head and quarterback sneak. Didn't have this year because of that bad knee. He's old. His time's past.
That hurt you to say that.
It's the truth. Many Steeler fans think that. Will that be the downfall? Will he get one more year? We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Scott, on to you. Pro v. Con. Pro or con?
I'm on a roll on con.
Con.
Plus, with, you know, my previous life spent in the pen, you know, con's the way to go.
That's true. That's the sound I want to hear.
Lamar Jackson.
Ah! Well, Becky gets to be pro.
Yeah, well.
That might take too much time. Becky might be a slightly pro Lamar. I don't think she would do con Lamar. Would you?
I can evaluate him.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to.
I can do it.
Because he probably listens to the show.
He does.
Right. Yes. Go ahead, Scott. Con Lamar Jackson.
I thought pro goes first.
No, you go first.
You go first.
And if you're still living after the fact, she can stare death into your soul.
Man, where to start? You know, this was...
Talk about his bad character.
This was...
I'll drink the rest of this because I deserve it.
The Ravens Super Bowl.
Which one was?
By far, they were the better team than the Chiefs this year. And they couldn't get past, what, the Bills?
The
really?
Bills are a tough team.
And,
from
you know, Lamar couldn't catch a snap from center. You know, when the ball snapped, you got to catch it. You've got one job, that's to catch the ball. Couldn't do that.
You were rooting for him, weren't you?
Couldn't do that. I was rooting for him.
Yeah,
I was rooting for him. I was rooting for him hard. I was sending him good vibes. Just catch the ball, Lamar. Just catch the ball, Lamar. It's tough. And that's a great center. He's freaking fantastic.
Uh-huh.
You know, hit him on the hip the one time and he didn't catch it.
Ooh. Right. A couple times he threw it over his head, back 20 yards.
Well,
right.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your eye on the ball. And he's it just goes to talk about, you know, if he was a proper height quarterback, 6'5", like Ben. We'd have cut those high snaps
maybe
instead of being 5'11". Accuracy issues.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the progressions of the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. There's a reason teams dared him to throw it outside the hash marks. Because he couldn't. Time to take the smoke off the ball. Time to not take the smoke off the ball. Inaccuracies on the short passes. Ooh, when to stay, when to go. And they just don't show confidence in his abilities to read defenses.
Hmm. Okay.
All those things. You know, and
I'm ready to go.
Why isn't he playing in the Super Bowl? Well, it ain't the rest of his teammates' fault.
It was really harsh.
It was. On to the Triple B.
Okay.
And he's not a good dresser.
Oh.
Russell Wilson. Even Ben dresses better than Lamar. That's saying something.
All he can wear are moo-moos. Go ahead.
But
so
man,
first,
does he rock a moo-moo?
First, I want to talk about this attack on his clothing.
Number one,
that's true. He is not even 24 years old. So the clothing style of a 23-year-old versus us is very different.
And us and Scott is very different.
So that's first.
You wear turtlenecks.
Number.
This is a faux turtleneck.
Two. He is known across the league for being very humble. He comes from a very humble family. It was just him and his mom. When he won the Heisman, his mom was telling a story about how when he was younger growing up, he didn't have a dad. His dad was killed in a car accident. And so it was just the two of them. And so she knew that he loved football. And so whenever he got to be too good to compete with the people around him, he didn't have any competition. She put on football pads and went out in the backyard and played with him.
Now, folks, Let me just interject.
Is that comedy material or
that's the sweetest
pro?
Thing I've ever heard.
Let me interject, folks. Now this, let me just explain to the listeners. I understand that these last two topics are not wine related. However, this does create a bit of rancor between between Becky and Scott. Ergo, I find it amusing. I don't care if you do. Go ahead, Becky.
Okay, so his mom, that is to me is, I cried my eyes out when I heard that story, and it really did inspire me to be that kind of mother to my own sons.
You don't have shoulder pads, though.
But whatever they wanted to do, I would help them succeed, regardless of what natural ability I had. She was not a natural football player, but she did what she had to
Becky's
do.
Becky's not Next. The soccer mom in the family. That would be Rob. Becky's the soccer coach in the family.
That's right.
Board member, actually. No.
Oh, she's right. Running the show.
Then next, he's his own agent. He was his own agent when he went through the combine. And then he was his own agent. He's his own agent now while he negotiates his new contract because he doesn't see any reason for one because he's just a really straight shooter. He's super humble. And it's also him and his mom. And it's like, why do I need somebody to have this conversation with the team where I want to be? He's not really out there playing games, asking for something insane. It's just like super straight shooter. You see him laughing with his teammates on the sideline. There's a super infamous picture of Ben sitting by himself on the sideline.
Well, nobody likes Ben. That's okay. That's true, Scott.
They put Bernie Sanders sitting next to him.
Nobody likes Ben.
There's also another video that I've seen circulating where Lamar Jackson was at the Pro Bowl last year serving up Gatorade to everyone on his team. He was the unanimous MVP of the NFL last year. They even Paul Rudd. Yeah, when Paul Rudd announced him, he even called him LaMarvelous, which is his nickname. There's also some like really special moments when he was a college player where he leapt over a Syracuse defender that's pretty famous. My other favorite play is whenever it was like fourth and one and he like shoot off the punters. He shoot off that team and then ran it in for a touchdown.
Question. Did you wrote down notes?
Yeah, because I didn't want to get too emotional and forget.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot something on the con. He went to Louisville.
So then the last comment I want to make is I think that something that, of course, your teammates are going, not of course, because Ben's don't, but if you would assume that your teammates would love you, especially when you are the quarterback, the leader of your team. You would assume that. However, not only does his team love Lamar, not only does his coach love Lamar, but when they played the Bills, which you all have so crassly referred to, and the last play of the game,
Bills
Lamar. Well, I know, but he said that they lost to.
By the way, you this is yours. You stuck this inside of Scott when you said a few comments about Ben.
But anyways, on the last play that Lamar was in, the center hiked the ball, I don't know, 20 yards behind Lamar. It was a terrible snap.
It was terrible.
And it resulted in Lamar getting a concussion in the end zone.
True.
His head, it wasn't the Bills' fault, but his head bounced off the turf and he got a concussion. So not only does his team love him, but the Bills, after playing him and seeing what happened, they donated like $500,000 to Lamar's favorite charity in Louisville, which provides food for children. It's a blessings backpack situation. And it provided enough food for all of the kids that need the services in Louisville for a year. Mm-hmm. So not only does his team love him, but his competitors love him.
Isn't Ben's lack of support. Isn't Ben's charity Chicken Wings for Ben? That's his charity's name, I thought. But anyway, okay.
So charity was the bartender at the club.
Yeah,
it's a, I feel like
he knows charity.
I probably talked for like 5 minutes.
You did,
but I could have talked for 20. So I feel like I did a good job just talking for five.
You lost a point though for that.
Yeah,
I'm just joking.
And it's not about. It's a pro for the Bills that they gave the half.
Scott,
mode.
I can deduct from your points. Pro or con, Becky?
Pro.
There are many more landmines in there just like that. Pro for
Teddy Bridgewater?
No.
There's no cons. I wouldn't be able to play. I don't even really know what these are.
What is it?
Masterclass videos. I don't even know what they are.
That's the point. Wait a minute. This is James Suckling. I have my master class on Facebook.
I don't even know what these are to talk about.
Damn it. You're doing it right now.
That's a point off for getting it.
Damn it.
That's a point off for getting another category.
There are $135 on Facebook. Right?
I don't know why we don't do master class videos, because I don't even know what those are.
You know what? Give it back to me. You could do another one. You just proved my point with master class. Fuck you, Suckling.
I really don't understand, though.
Nobody else does it. Pro what?
Pro the superstar.
The super. You have to be con Steve.
I won't play.
You have to.
I don't.
Then you lose.
No, I get to give it back and get my category.
No, you don't. She made the point of the master class. She gets an extra point for that. Maybe. That's pretty good. What do you mean? I have a tasting class and. And Winitour has a boss class. Nobody watched because nobody gives a shit about her either.
My pro
Facebook
for
turned me off.
The superstar is we. I could go on and on. It's so exciting whenever he joins our show. Rob rags on him all the time about, like, I mean, we have pieces of his shirt taped up on our.
He tore his shirt off.
Yeah, but he just he brings a lot to the show. We miss him when he's not here. He brings wines that he's had or that he has access to, which is really fun.
Like Red Diamond.
But something that I really liked that he did that I think changed my mind about rosé is we had ragged on rosé and ragged on rosé. And he was like, well, my boss drinks a rosé that's actually really good. And we're like, no way, no way, no way. So he brings, like, the one good rosé that exists in this beautiful bottle that we all liked. And I just thought that that was a really funny contribution to the show, and I wish he was on more often.
Strangely enough, it's a Michael Mondavi product, and no one's ever said that about Michael Mondavi product.
No, we like some Mondavi stuff.
But the bottle was so pretty, we saved it and put water in it. It's a beautiful bottle.
And guess what? That water was great. Scott, con the superstar.
You can also not play, I don't
care. Well,
so you win.
There's those conspiracy theories about the military airplanes.
Ooh.
What?
Nobody knows about that.
We do, though.
We do.
Oh, you mean like there's the his thing?
Yes, B-2 bombers.
We're not talking
inability
about that
with directions or finding where or using a map.
It's fair enough. Every time, folks, that he's going to be at the wine vault, you have to drop him a pin as to where we are. And he's been to my house 150 times, but doesn't matter.
It's how many turns? Three?
Three. You have to drop a pin so he can find it. One time, folks, he was coming, he was leaving, he was going back to his house. For some reason, he ended up in another town south of here. Didn't he go down to Lancaster instead?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's multiple times. He's like a magnet for Lancaster.
There's a highway not on the way to his house, but he goes that way. So he drove back roads to a highway, and then once he got to the highway, he went the wrong way on the highway.
He's done that more than once.
Yes.
The infamous Christmas party, he ended up in Lancaster.
He ended up in Lancaster, and it was at Hank's house, which lives nowhere near Lancaster.
Then there's other directional issues that involve driveways.
True.
And sometimes the front yard.
All of it.
You know, it's a driveway. You get on it. You're already on it. And you just kind of go straight till you get to the road.
Yeah. You don't move,
or,
you don't move the wheel left or right.
Or you can drive through somebody's front yard.
Yes. And then keep driving and do circles.
The other pro I forgot.
He got lost in the front yard, by the way.
Pro I forgot.
Yes.
Is I have had a lot of health stuff going on the past like 7 or 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Regularly.
True.
Steve checks in to see how I'm doing.
He does.
And it is really, really thoughtful.
Steve is a caring person.
Scott, well, do you have any more? I just think he's just doing that so he can feel better about himself.
And he said, because whenever he had some health stuff going on, I would message him and say, how are you doing? And he was always like, I'm doing all right. I'm really anxious. And he said, I know how it feels when people... Hey!
Sorry. He made a very dickish comment.
I heard it.
That is basically my level. And I have to acknowledge that. I'm sorry.
It's inaccurate.
Well, it is, but it's still a dickish comment.
Well, he maybe had
it's unfair.
Some reasons. And this would be what Rob would say. I'm not saying this, but Rob would say this. He's very short.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that. That's good.
He's a handsome man, though.
Not classically handsome.
Yes, very much so. Very the
I'm just teasing.
Chin, the high cheekbones, the blue eyes.
That's right.
And the gift of gab. And nice. People like Steve.
He's a nice yeah. ass. Oh.
He's so easy to like.
Say that loud again. Everybody
and,
loves Steve.
You know, you gotta love a guy who spent the eve of his wedding night in bed with his best buddy Rob.
Yeah, I slept with him. What's your problem? Anyway. Pro or con, Scott? Last round. Pro or con?
Give me the...
No, you...
I have to have a feel of it.
No.
I want to feel it up. Con.
Con.
I'm on a roll with con.
Yeah, I'm on a roll with
con. There
pros.
You go. Con.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
What is it? Is it the Triple B?
Dry Creek Winery.
This will be hard for Becky. Although they're not Ridge.
Con, they're not Ridge.
Okay, good.
You know, just when you want it, you fall in love with a wine, mm-hmm. and then you can't find it. You can't find the damn Dry Creek anymore, and that well, pisses
not in
me
stores,
off.
Wine.com, you can, but yeah.
No, you can't get that Fumé Blanc anymore. You can't. It's not there.
Well, I don't love that.
I so do.
I know you think. Yeah.
I love that white wine, and now you can't get it. They piss me off.
Well, the My Fragrano.
You know, and there's something weird about those sailboats on the front. I don't know what it is.
What?
It makes me think of Russell Crowe, and I don't like that guy.
Master and Commander is a great movie.
No, everybody likes that guy, and I don't like him. Those wee beady eyes. I don't like that Russell Crowe. Dry Creek reminds me of Russell Crowe.
Well, that is a valid question. What does sailboats have to do with Dry Creek Valley?
What does it have to do with Russell Crowe? That's what I want to know.
He was in a movie called Master and Commander.
See?
That was a great movie.
Oh, you're so easily...
Whenever you're ready, I'm ready.
Yes, please.
You're
go
so
ahead,
easily, okay. easy. Hey, I've got a platform. I'm going to use it.
Go ahead, Becky. Pro.
So, Dry Creek, as we've talked about before, was a winery of the year. Wasn't it a winery of the year?
No.
Who did it lose to?
I think they were up for it. I think the first year they were up for it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember who won the first year.
Okay. Yeah. So, I'll come back to it. To me, Dry
Turley.
Creek... reminds me of maybe. Being on vacation. I've talked about it before. Anytime we go somewhere, I want Rob to make sure he has a bottle, especially of the Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm.
Their Fumé Blanc is fantastic, but the Zin, I feel like, is just really, really nice. I have a lot of sentimental attachment to it.
Their cab is good, too.
I think it's super approachable.
Mm-hmm.
It's $20. It has a lot of flavor. It's just a nice drinker, multiple vintages. Something that I find interesting about Scott.
Oh, now we're getting personal.
Being the cons is when I look behind me, I see that he gave the Zin a 90 and the Fumé Blanc also a 90.
But you can't
find it. So it's interesting
it.
To me.
That's the con. You can't find that shit anymore.
It's
not available.
It's interesting to me.
They took it away.
He's speaking out of both sides of his mouth.
They took it away from me. I don't like that.
Very interesting. I like that.
I don't like that Russell Crowe.
All right. So, folks, we have had 5 rounds, and now I will reveal.
This was
you
like
know, you know
a
who
brutal,
else creeps me out about Dry Creek?
Con.
Steve Buscemi. You know, he's a weird guy, too.
Yeah, he has nothing on you. Well, so, the first round, not to interrupt you, but to interrupt you.
He's got those funny teeth.
He does. He does have a jacked grill. Martini and Rossi. Scott was con. Becky was pro.
Say yeah.
Scott talked a lot about I don't know what, and he's right. Martini and Rossi is disgusting. So he got 3 points for that.
Oh God.
Now Becky made no real headway because it wasn't true what she said, but her arguments. Were organized quite well. She actually had points. She actually set them up in a way to argue and debate. No. You get 3 points for that.
Thank
oh,
you.
God.
So that's a draw.
That's it. I'm really encouraged by that because that was...
Oh, God.
The most minus being Probe and Roethlisberger, that's one of the more challenging ones I've had.
Now, on to Pro, the next one. Number two, Ben Roethlisberger, Scott was con, Becky was pro. Scott was con. Scott was very, let's just say, thorough, honest, straightforward.
I would have said flip.
He meant what he said.
But he didn't go into detail about his sexual assault.
I know. He
it's alleged.
He mentioned that slightly.
Like I said, flip.
Well, he didn't get 5 points. Had he talked about Ben Roethlisberger being a rapist, allegedly, in my opinion, he would have gotten 5 points, but he didn't. So he got 4 points, which is still a strong score.
Oh, God.
Now, Becky made no real points about Pro. He didn't do a very good job.
What?
He didn't. You did a quite poor job.
I mean, what did I have to go off of?
You were flippant. You didn't mean anything you said. Mm. I didn't feel
rings, Hall of Fame career.
You got 2 points. You lost that one.
Generous.
Scott wins. So Scott's up 1-0.
But really, I won that because the cons won on Ben. So I'm kind of a winner.
Sure. Yeah. So on to the next round, Lamar Jackson.
I feel like a winner.
Scott was con. And Scott was very daring, brave. I wrote down notes. Scott was brave, yet stupid. He was going to die. And then I wrote down, nice knowing you. But because of your bravery and your stupidity, I gave you 4 points.
That should be five. How did I fall short?
Well, because,
see, you're afraid. You're the one who is afraid to die, so you won't give me the full five.
You were unnecessarily harsh, and you were incorrect about a few points.
What, that he went to Louisville?
No.
What was I incorrect
about?
He had
a fantastic
that he can't
center.
Catch the
you
ball?
You were overtly spiteful.
Yeah, that's true.
That's,
you were.
But that's
you
were, part of, that was part of the ploy,
you can be,
and it's what you wanted.
You can be spiteful to the other person, but not to someone that's not here. Wasn't fair.
Wasn't being spiteful and you were to anybody
wrong.
That wasn't here.
It wasn't his fault that the ball went over his head by 18 feet. That wasn't
He's
his fault.
He's too short.
He's 6'2". He's taller than you.
He's not a proper quarterback height of 6'5".
He still got 4 points.
I remember that forever.
But he also doesn't weigh 295 pounds either, like Ben. So, Becky, though, I mean, she pretty much gave his whole biography in 5 minutes. That's pretty impressive. Now, she already knows it by hand. So theoretically, she should get a point deducted, but I don't actually have that rule.
You have all these other rules.
She gets 5 points for that.
Oh, God.
So you're tied up.
I feel like $500,000 for the Bills Mafia.
Bills Mafia didn't say that.
You got 5 points. There are no more points.
Oh, my God.
You got a bonus point. You got 5 points. You're not going to get 6 points. There's only 5 points.
Why? That's what I'm saying. I think I deserve six.
Well, you're wrong.
Today, I asked Rob for a gold star, and he wouldn't give me a gold star.
No, because you don't.
Well, you're getting it during the game.
Okay. So, on to the next round, the superstar. Becky was pro, Scott was con. Scott was a bit of a dick. But he did say some nasty things that I would say.
I was not a dick. I wasn't mean.
You were.
I was just trying to win the game.
I know. And I, you know what? You were a dick enough. I mean, you just said mean things. But everything that I would say. Kind of. I did give you 5 points. You did a good job.
Well, there you go. It's hard.
And Brecky, I mean, what Brecky. You said was all true. Yeah, your name is Brecky. I'm drunk. Anyway, the problem is you're ignoring the fact that Steve did drive through our yard.
It's denial. It's absolute denial.
He got lost in our yard. And he does believe it, that there are 500 B2 bombers.
I was pro, though. I'm not supposed to kind of gloss over all of that.
I know. I know. Life isn't fair. That's why I gave you 4 points.
Oh, my God.
Four?
Four. She did a good job. She did say a lot of nice things about Steve because Steve is a wonderful person.
Didn't even mention his relationships with the people that he works with. Didn't mention
why would she know how that? Was she going to talk about that?
Her wonderful parent.
Well, she said he was just a good person. She did a good job. Steve is a good person.
You're a butt kisser.
Whatever. On to the Dry Creek Valley. So right now, Becky's behind by one.
By one.
Scott, you were con. Becky was pro.
Yeah.
This guy didn't say anything that all that interesting.
How many points does Rebecca lose
for... 15, 14 right now.
Does Rebecca lose for denying the masterclass? Picked one and didn't want to play. That's a loss of points.
No, she would get That's 10 points for basically making fun of masterclass, not even knowing it. So I wouldn't go down that path or trigger.
She was con.
Yeah, and she did a really good job of it. Excellent job. The best.
Not enough.
She would get.
She didn't even mock it,
Scott. She would get 50 points for her response. So don't bring that in there.
There was no response.
That's. I don't know what this is exactly. That's the whole point. That's the punchline of the joke. Anyway. You don't understand what that is. Scott didn't say much at all. Dry Creek Valley, I mean, one thing you could have said, Scott, is their Mariner sucks. It's $50 and it tastes like ass. You could have said that you couldn't remember that it was Loamy Soils and you lost to Steve in Wine Vault Trivia, ergo you hate Dry Creek Valley.
Because I love Dry Creek Valley.
I know, but you could have hated them because of that. You lost that competition. That was wonderful.
I never had Mariner.
That was the greatest moment. Yeah, we had it at the tastings.
Yeah, that was... Red wine. That was that night. That was red wine.
Whatever. But that was the greatest moment of my entire life. Next to my marriage and my children getting born, but even that's debatable. When you lost in my vault trivia to Steve. That was wonderful. But nevertheless.
Total setup. Just like this.
But Becky did a good job. She pointed out everything you needed to point out. She wasn't perfect, but she did enough. She got 4 points.
How much did Scott get?
3.
So we tied.
It is a draw tonight, folks. A draw. Strange how that works. You didn't lose, though, Scott. It's like kissing your sister.
Bam, 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 bam.
I know. Meow. So, folks, that's Pro V Convert tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did.
We're questioning the scoring.
I know.
Didn't even mention Ben's Super Bowl winner. Not once, but twice. Future Hall of Famer.
I don't know that he'll be in the Hall of Fame. Oh, what's his legacy?
2 Super Bowls.
Teammates that don't like him?
There's no problem with his teammates. Assault. Ben has no problems with his teammates. Coaches, well, he's run through some coaches.
Why did I give you a 2 on that? Oh, you're a pro. That's right. That's why. You couldn't make those arguments, could you? You would have won had it been con for Ben.
I would have still been talking.
Probably. No, I'd have gotten all 5 points.
Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 18 Ridge Three Valleys Red Blend, predominantly Zinfandel. We are going to get to some reviews now. And we're going to start off with the Triple B.
So this is a little bit of a hard review. I'm kind of like in a range and I'm still like mentally debating where I'm going to end up.
What's your range? We want to know.
I'm like a 90-91 range. So for me, the mouth feels great. The pepper in it is personally such a treat. Like when I taste a wine that has white pepper, black pepper, cayenne in it, it's such, that just to me, like as a personal thing, is a favorite flavor of mine. The tannins are just so consistent throughout. The finish, we touched on it a couple of times, is amazing. The American oaking is done so well. I am struggling because I want Rob to buy more that Ridge makes, and I don't know how high my scores can go. But that's how I feel, though.
But you know, it's almost so good. It's like, just buy a lot of this. You know?
That's what the wine.com app is for, folks. I can make your dreams come true.
So I'm going to give it a 91. Really, really recommend. I can't wait to drink more from Ridge.
I can make that.
And I'm so excited to know that we already have some in our wine cellar, because like we've talked about so often, as soon as we find something we like, it's gone. Mm-hmm. So it is exciting to hear.
Yeah, and folks, buy this.
It's all gone, by the way, folks. We drank it all before we ended the show.
Yeah. You know, buy this. But this, you know, Ridge products, you can find, I don't care what your market is, you should be able to find Ridge and try it. But it's Three Valleys for the price. Man, what a dynamite wine. Mm-hmm. I'm also at 91. I'm going to add to that pepper, but, you know, that little tint of cayenne pepper, too. So it's got the triple play there. But the oaking is really well done. And I think it's done in a way where it'll even become more fine with age.
Mm-hmm.
I think something we didn't talk about, there's just a hint of acidity there that kind of brings it along, too. It's so good for their entry-priced offering. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't a particularly good year for the Three Valleys, and it may not always be this good.
Look at the reviews. Normally, it's in the 90s, so 91, 92.
But still, you know, these are 92, 93. But and couldn't recommend something highly and freaking knock out in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's like, who wouldn't like this?
I know. I
don't know anybody.
Too.
I mean, seriously, if you know anything about wine, you would love this.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who'd love this. My cousin. Humsy, cuz, get you some Ridge. But this Three Valleys for the price, psh, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
And then it's on to me, folks. I had a range of scores in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a 91. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about it. And I thought about in the past the wines that I rewarded a 91. And that's a very, very strong score. However, I believe this wine has a little bit more refinement and is a little more interesting than that score.
You're going to give it a higher score. Use your voice. Come on, James.
That score allows for.
Come on, James. Use your voice.
So I provided this wine 90. 92
of my points.
That's not what James Suckling sounds.
Suckling here.
It's a 90 to 92, but it's definitely in the higher echelon. I mean, 91, 92, what the hell? You're splitting hairs. But I find, first of all, I think it has a little bit of ageability that factors in. It's a little more unique. It's not a grocery store wine. That factors in. But yeah, the little sliver of ageability also just ticks it up a little bit for me.
Do you notice that of late, you know, this James Suckling impression, you know, maybe he's going in and out of reality and these scores are kind of going up.
You think a 92 is that far from 91? You think a 92 is that
roller coaster?
Sometimes when we're drinking wines that above 90, they are really niche, unique wines that aren't going to be accessible, like palate-wise.
Yes.
This has that ability to be extremely accessible to a lot of people. And we just don't see that in a lot of upper-level wines. And that's, I mean, really noteworthy.
And to me, a 90, there's a hump at 90. You have to have something special to get above that.
Yeah.
Because we've had, we've given some wines.
Doing the hump.
But this wine then gets above that, but it has a little bit of hold back ability. And it's a little more desirable than your average wine. Segesio gets a 91 because it's great. But you don't collect Sagashio. You can buy it anywhere.
And you put it back for a couple years. I don't know about putting this back, what did he say, 10, 15? But No, but
4 to 5.
Maybe not that long. I'm not sure I would trust this that long.
No, 4 to 5, I think you'd be fine. You're not going to lose. 4 to 5 is fine. I think that's what you do. After that, would it hold maybe 7 to 10 years and not improve? You could probably drink it. It's hard to believe, but that's probably, though, when I'm saying 7 to 10, maybe that's from the actual vintage date. So I think probably the Spectator is right when they say up to 2028. I think that's probably the closest that you're going to find from an age bracket, don't you think? That's fair. 10 years from release, 8 years from today, it's going to improve probably 3 to 5 years. The 3 probably safer than 5. Your peak is going to probably be in that 4 to 6 range, somewhere in that range. But we always advocate these short-term cellar room wines.
Yeah.
But then again, is 4 to 5 years that short-term? Not for most people.
But this is... This isn't a wine that needs that. This isn't one that... It's a wonderful wine as it is. And yes, you can set it down for some time.
I think it's worth 25 bucks. Yeah. Excellent. It's just the length of the finish, the structure, everything about it, and also the approachability. It's not one of these wines that you know, it's like, well, we like it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that. It has that next little tick that says, you know what? This is an everyman wine.
Yes.
Yep.
And that, what is that? What do you do for that? You can't say that that's like everything else, because not everything can do that. This wine does that. It's a triathlon athlete of a wine.
It does both things. This is for everybody, but this is why we like Zinfandel. Mm-hmm. The wines like this, because it can be so many things, and it can be artistically not manipulated, but can be used so many different ways.
And there is the 92 from me.
Yeah.
And it's so well done.
Can I say, on our scores of integrity, I got it exactly right.
Did you? You got me as a 92?
I did.
Wow. Scott, what do you... So what did you have for Scott?
91.
You got them all right.
Yeah.
Scott, what did you have?
So
91
off.
And 90.
Who was the 90? Becky? Okay.
Russian judge.
And I had Becky at a 90 and Scott at a 91. Oh. So Becky wins tonight.
Yeah. I have been off for a long time, but...
You thought I'd give it a 92, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. What do you know? I didn't know I'd give it a 92 until I thought about it and realized the merits of why I thought it was a 92. There you go.
It's that voice in your head. It's rubbing off.
So, folks...
Not wrong.
Hall of Fame.
I'm James Hockling. I mean, Rob.
That's Wilford Wong. Tip of the cap to Ridge and Geyserville Lytton Springs. I will be seeing you soon.
Red Snapper with a mango chutney.
So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B.
The Wine Guy. I like mango chutney. And James Hockling.
We know what you like.
He's a good looking man.
Yeah. We're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.